Pickaxe.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hello, and welcome back to The Review of Death, your fortnightly home for Doctor Who news and reviews. I'm Matthew Toffolo. That's Billy Garrett John. Hello.
It is.
We're back.
Hello.
We're talking about Doctor Who. Namely, Doctor Who yet to come, aren't we?
Yes, we are talking about the future that is yet to be. Because we've already kind of talked about the episodes, sort of episode by episode, running through what we think might be going on. But this is a more sort of general preview of what's to come, sweeping up some news that we missed. Like, for example, Matt, Doctor Who's got a new best friend.
Yes. Yeah.
And we haven't even met the new best friend yet.
Yeah, we barely know her. Yeah. I mean, also, this is like a really... This is a very weird situation, this one. Because obviously we'd seen the actress whose name I forget. What's her name?
Virada Sethu.
Virada Sethu, thank you. We'd seen her filming stuff already. You know, there was lots of location stuff. The papers were running with it. In seemingly a sort of 1950s Miami Beach sort of set story, maybe a bit earlier.
Yeah.
And yet the BBC were quiet. They kept quiet, very tight-lipped for, well, quite a few weeks before it was announced. Unfortunately, we sort of missed this news, didn't we? Because as our last episode came out, the news of her casting dropped officially. And they made a big song and dance about the fact that she was going to be alongside Ruby Sunday. I keep wanting to call her Ruby Road. It's
Ruby,
very annoying.
Ruby.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, even the announcement had the pair of them in the picture as shooty, didn't it?
It did.
So, yeah, we'll see. She was good in Andor. I think that's the only thing I've seen her in.
So she was also in Jurassic World Dominion. I haven't seen that, and
I've
don't know anyone
that.
Else who has.
No.
But I also found out she was in that adaptation of A Midsummer Night's Dream that was shooting at the BBC Drama Village when we went to see the TARDIS.
Ah, yes.
Remember seeing the Elfland woodland critters wandering around?
I do, yeah. I actually watched that version a few months back. Yeah, it was good. It was good. There was a few sort of weird bits that we were a bit like, oh, okay. It was good. It was good. And it was weird. Yeah. Like you said, seeing them all there. I was like, oh yeah, I remember seeing these people in the canteen having their soup and their cups of tea.
Just a lot of shouting at night.
A lot of shouting at night. Yeah.
So the Millie thing, we haven't really spoken about an awful lot.
No.
I don't think we've sort of touched on it, but Russell T. Davis has, spoken about it. And responding to the rumors of Millie Gibson leaving, I think this was just after Virada Sethu was announced, he said, not leaving, not at all. And then went on to say, we were ordered for 2 years of a series with Disney, and we're delivering 2 years, and the Ruby Sunday story literally spans those 2 years. So an interesting confirmation.
Yeah.
Maybe that. But then also having said that, you know, it's interesting to know that now, but also thinking that, okay, so one's been delivered and is going out in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
And the other is wrapping soon, we presume.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So this launch in 2 weeks' time is going to determine whether or not that gets extended. And I guess we'll find out fairly soon after the debut of Series 14, Season 1, whether or not it's going to yield contract renewal or extension.
Yeah, yeah. We'll soon see if the House of Mouse wants to keep hold of the Doctor of TARDIS.
The Doctor of Blue Box.
The Doctor of Blue Box. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I wonder if... Christ, I can't even remember Ruby Sunday's act. Lily Gibson. I wonder if it is a thing where, you know, she was like, right, well, I'll do 2 years, but, you know, I just want to do 2 years. And then maybe they thought, well, in case we do get picked up again, we can introduce Verada's character in the second series, and then she can bridge that gap into the next one, maybe in case Shooty didn't want to do a third series or, you know, something maybe like that. But I think he did an interview somewhere and sort of said something like, oh, you know, at the moment, I'm just looking forward to having a break from this.
Yes.
Before going back. I mean, he said a break, which would suggest, you know, a break and then going back to it. But who knows? We'll find out in due course.
Who knows?
I'm sure.
I mean, ultimately, I think their contracts and however long they were supposed to be on the show or however long the story was supposed to run for would have been dictated by that Disney deal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's guaranteed money and they'll know how and where to spend it. So interesting as well, I think, for Shooty that generally, and correct me if I'm wrong, doctors are signed to single year contracts on the show. And then
maybe
get renewed either on a year-by-year basis or after that they do, okay, I'll do another two.
Yeah,
you
maybe
know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
So interesting that Shooty has been tied down to a deal that long.
Yeah.
I'm still of the mindset that, you know, we'll get 3 years out of him, but I don't see him doing more than 3 years. I suppose his comments there are a confirmation there's another one to come, another block of recording to come after season two is wrapped up. But just his trajectory, the way things are going for him, I don't imagine he'll be around much longer than 3 years.
No. He had an interesting comment, I think was it in Attitude? I can't remember where it was, but someone posted it somewhere about how he wants to defeat monsters by twerking or something. Did you see that?
Sonic booty claps.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
I don't think that will happen, Matt. Don't worry.
I'm not.
You can talk about some stuff that is going to happen, which is the synopsis for Space Babies, episode 1, is out.
Oh, yeah.
Ruby learns the Doctor's secrets when he takes her to a future with babies and a bogeyman.
I told you, he is the Pat Mustard of space. Those are all of his babies. We worked
he's
it out
all
in
my
the trailer.
Babies. he's all my hairy babies. And we don't have one for the Ruttles, the Beatles episode
the
yet.
Ruttles.
Interesting, though, of course, they're leading with that as the cover of Doctor Who magazine, I guess, because it is the most visually enticing of the batch that are coming out in that first release window.
Yeah.
We should talk about the cover.
Yes.
because it's going to tie into one of my predictions for later on, because we're going to do wild predictions, folks.
Okay.
But, you know, I promised myself I wouldn't get too precious about a Beatle episode of Doctor Who, because, you know, it's inevitable. They'll get stuff wrong. That guitar wasn't used then. Studio 2 doesn't look like that.
Mm.
Then to hear, oh, we're not using the music at all. It's like, oh, okay, well, you know, that's a shame, but whatever. And then to see Jeff, Pete, Greg, and Bongo was quite a shock.
not only are we not using the music, but we're not using anyone
their
that
likenesses.
Like the Beatles.
it must be hard to cast people.
Oh yeah,
because you know we're not seeing them in context either. And I know that the guy who played Ringo did a very funny TikTok where he was like, "Wait till the episode comes out," and da 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 da.
Yeah,
but to get people that look like them, talk like them, most importantly, because I think three of the four are Scousers, at least three of the four are Scousers.
Right.
That have their frames, that can play instruments, that can sing, you know, all of that must be tough.
Yeah.
You know, it must be hard. And it looks
or
like
impossible.
It's been a struggle. No. I mean, look, you know, I can't go in too deep on it because it's not fair and we haven't seen them in action yet. But people are saying they are not in it that much. And
yeah, I don't think they'll be in it much. I think it is window dressing. Yeah. I think it really is. I think they just probably thought, look, we need four guys that we can stick wigs on, you know, and that's it.
Badly. No. Pop down Chaplin's and get us four Beatles wigs. Oh,
yeah, well,
right,
that's it. That is how it feels. And someone put a very good thread on Twitter where they outlined, like, you know, well, John Lennon's hair was never like this. And, you know, Paul McCartney's hair was like this at this point in time. And obviously, John Lennon didn't wear the glasses at that point and all this sort of stuff. It does sort of smack a little bit of like, right, who's who? Well, if we give him the glasses, then everyone will know he's John Lennon.
George looks more like John than the guy playing John. I think they've cast John for his jawline because he's got that quite distinct sort of squared off thing going on. And I mean,
the guy who plays Ringo looks kind of like Ringo. He's got the same sort of nose.
He's got the nose for it. Yeah. I mean, Paul
McCartney.
Paul McCharmley. Bloody Bruce McMouse here. I mean, he just...
He couldn't look any less like Paul McCartney if you try.
I can see why they've cast him for his eyes, because Paul's got those doe eyes and he's got doe eyes.
Has he?
And yeah.
I know Paul McCartney has.
Yeah. He's got kind of, you know, he's got that sort of face shape kind of around here, but it's just, I mean,
unfortunately,
maybe
the rest
it's a
of
bad
his face
photo.
Doesn't look
You know, I want to think it's a bad photo, but then, you know, the fears from the wide shot from the trailers are kind of being confirmed. And look, I said I wasn't going to get too annoyed about it, but you know, I'm currently reading a book about Paul McCartney as a solo artist.
Yeah.
It's his first 3 years after he split from the Beatles. And it's basically a day-by-day breakdown of practically what he was eating, what he was drinking, certainly what he was smoking, and almost what was coming out of his anus at the end of each day. And Linda's as well. It's a beat by beat breakdown.
Wow.
So obviously,
why did he keep a record of this?
No, this is other people. That's what's even weirder about it. Like hundreds of, I mean, it's not literally his bowel movements, Matt. I'm slightly exaggerating that, but it's, you know, I'm somebody who wants to know all that stuff about people, not the bowel stuff, but you know what? Anyway, of course I was going to get annoyed by slight inaccuracies, but I'm just a little bit put off by the likenesses now.
Yeah. And someone, I've seen a few people say, well, like, oh, you're not going to cast lookalikes, are they, for it? But someone posted a really good thread of Doctor Who castings of historical characters from 2005 onwards. And I got to say, about 90% of them do look a lot or similar enough to their characters that you would immediately look at them and go, oh, well, that's so-and-so, you know, like Winston Churchill or Charles Dickens, you know?
Yeah.
It's only when you get into characters who, you know, like, there's not necessarily a still photograph of them and it's an oil painting and you're like, well, okay, you know, that's a bit harder to go by because obviously it's not an actual, you know, picture of them. But yeah, I don't know. It's a funny one. Like you said, maybe they won't be in it that much. I don't think they will be. I think they'll be in it at the beginning and, you know, they might be shot in such a way that you only see them a little bit and you just hear someone saying, all right, thanks, Paul, John, George.
I think we'll hear them in the studio again. You know, can we do that again? You know, and that'll kind of be it. And I mean, they won't sound that good. You know, we can hope. So that's that. We haven't got a synopsis for that story yet, but we know Beetle Heavy, Jinx Monsoon.
I gotta say, the guy who plays George, I reckon in another 10 years he could play Patrick Troughton.
I thought in another 10 years he could play George once he's a bit older and a bit more, you know, cynical in life. Yes, Patrick Troughton. Yes, he could.
Like Patrick Troughton on the front.
He does. I mean, there we go. Matt, get Matt down as a casting director. Andy Pryor, step aside, mate. Step aside. So I've got a bunch of kind of not very well connected points here. This is just a lot of stuff that I've swept up over the last week. Bits that I haven't seen a lot of coverage of or interviews and little slices of stuff. So we'll use them as jumping off points for topics of conversation. So
cool.
I'm going to pick one of these at random and it's to do with the series itself. This is Russell, right? I don't know who he was speaking to here. I think actually Instagram account for Doctor Who, and he says, it's partly the freedom that the toy maker has brought to Doctor Who that there's an element of the supernatural coming into it, which is something we expected. That's something that we have, you know, or at least things that don't pretend to play by hard science fiction rules. That's why Doctor Who has avoided goblins and elves. The toy maker has just relaxed the rules slightly where you'll see more of this. It allows me to bring in a floating ship. Nobody sits there asking, how is that ship floating? You just don't. It's Doctor Who. I think that's an interesting quote. And I take issue with a couple of points in there.
Okay.
The first one being that there's a contradiction here, I think, quite a heavy contradiction, about how the toy maker is making certain things possible in terms of the storytelling and what Russell is able to put into the scripts.
Yeah.
But then he goes on at the end to say, nobody sits there asking, how is that ship floating? He's specifically talking about the goblin ship.
Yeah.
You just don't. It's Doctor Who.
Mm.
And so I kind of wonder, obviously we'll have to see how it's justified in the episodes and in the series. Like, if it's just Doctor Who and that stuff can happen anyway, why do we need the toy maker as a window in for all the supernatural stuff?
Just thinking that, you know, when I watched it on Christmas Day, I wasn't thinking, oh, how's that wasp powering that spaceship? Or not spaceship, or boat. Yeah, that is a weird one. I mean, maybe that's just there as a means to cover himself, you know, if I use the toy, I want to do this stuff, I want to put this type of stuff into Doctor Who, and if I say that it's related to the toy maker, I'm not going to get some sad twats on keyboards or on podcasts to moaning about it and saying,
if the Beatles don't look like the Beatles, we'll just say it's the toy maker.
Well, yes. Yeah. Is that what you think? Is that your thing? Is that one
Absolutely
of your predictions?
Not. I just think they didn't look hard enough.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting so many people
Call
saying...
Call up the bootleg Beatles. They look great.
I mean, I'm getting so many people saying like, oh, perhaps, you know, you moan about this, but perhaps this is a plot point. Have you thought about that? I was like, look, it's Occam's razor. The simplest solution is probably the right one. They just don't fucking look like them.
Yeah. I'd like to retract my statement about the bootleg Beatles upon realization that most of them are in their 60s. So no, you shouldn't be casting the bootleg Beatles. Time's gone squiffy, and it's the Beatles as they are now. So it's a
except it's for John
two skeletons
and George
and Paul there smoking a reefer and Ringo on his phone on Instagram doing his little Instagram things, bless his heart.
What's John doing? Yeah. What's Paul doing? Smoking a reefer. Is he noting down his bowel movements for the day?
Smoking a big doob, and he's putting in press injunctions for people who've been following his bowel movement. It just struck me as a bit of a weird quote, because I get that there's obviously going to be an element of the supernatural coming into this. It's been mentioned in the trailer.
Yeah.
It's been foreshadowed in the series itself that time's going tits up and weird things are happening and supernatural things are coming through. I just thought it was a strange way of kind of broaching the idea that Doctor Who can do things like floating ships, when it's like, well, yeah. You just need the Doctor to say, it's powered by protoplasmic Poppadom shield or whatever, and you're just like, yeah, that's how that works. Fine. Yum.
Yeah, it is weird. It's a bit of an odd thing to sort of justify, but who knows? You know, we'll see. We'll see where it all goes when we watch the series very soon.
We will.
Throw us another one. What else?
So Jane Tranter had an interview with C21 Media, which I believe is like a kind of insider media, TV, film publication, and kind of went on to explain that Russell came back to Doctor Who, put down certain things. One of them was he wanted it done on a budget that would compete with top flight programs.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to change the international distribution, and he wanted to make it with Julie Gardner and Jane Tranter as Bad Wolf. And with the BBC, they worked together and found Disney as an international partner. And that's how that all sort of came together.
Okay.
The second part of her, the interview clip that I saw, she says, Russell's vision was to come back and not just make Doctor Who the TV show, but to develop the Whoniverse. Russell had the idea to bring Tennant back. He has a whole story as to why he came back. and therefore why we have the 15th Doctor, Shuti Gatwa. So that thread hasn't been dropped.
Oh, okay. Is this not just like an old interview? Is this maybe?
I don't know, because I saw it uploaded fairly recently.
Oh, right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, people at home, but as far as the Disney Plus audience is concerned, Shuti is their season one. So I guess, you know, she's sort of justifying the renaming there. It's been a complicated thing in celebrating and loving the history and legacy of Doctor Who, while at the same time, Russell develops the Whoniverse to ensure you could have somebody who hasn't heard of Doctor Who, but what else could we give them besides the new series to give them an immersive understanding of Doctor Who? Russell was insistent we develop the back catalogue and that the BBC put it all in one place so it was available for people to watch for the first time so they can see what the canon is and how the show is developed. I think that's interesting about the Whoniverse because that kind of suggests that, you know, what are the tentpole things that are important to Doctor Who for you to get an understanding of how the show works and why it is the way it is, and what shows can we do outside of the programme that illustrate that. So even though we had a reference in the trailer that just went out, or a line that popped up on the Disney Plus Doctor Who Instagram about I'm the last of the Time Lords, I think there was a reference to that.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's elements of going back into the canon and using the Whoniverse to do that sort of stuff.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, funny really, because, you know, Russell, when he did it the first time round, was so careful not to really focus on anything that had happened in the past and try and make it not feel like his own thing, but, you know, make it feel like its own thing to a new audience so that they weren't put off by the idea of like, well, I don't know what any of this stuff means and I'm not going to go back and watch anything from the 70s. To then suddenly make it fairly important that, you know, that stuff is accessible. It's interesting. I mean, I don't know if that necessarily means, you know, we'll be getting like little references in the series. It'll pop up. If you want to understand this reference, go watch this episode on BBC iPlayer.
I think we will get those. And if you want to watch the entire history of Doctor Who, it's available now on BBC iPlayer. I think we'll get that, won't we?
And also, here's the number for the Samaritans.
Is a Doctor Who fan in your house suicidal today? If you've been affected by the likenesses of the Beatles in this episode, I'll stop talking about that.
Are you suicidal because you've got a Doctor Who fan in your house?
Do you need help dealing with this man, woman, and child in your house?
who are all one and the same person.
Literally.
Dear. Yeah, so that's interesting. That is interesting that was such a focus. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I mean, obviously, it's weird. You know, we've got lots of old characters coming back. We've got Mel, which is crazy. We've got Kate Stewart, which again is, you know, quite funny to see that she's been carried on.
Rose. I mean, that's
Rose.
That's,
yeah.
You know, I mean, she's recent past,
but of course, it has ties to the further past with Donna.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting. There does seem to be this feeling of like, oh, we must honour the past a bit. Well, I don't know. It's weird. It's just, I think it's... No, I was just going to say, I think it's just so unexpected. You know, it's not what any of us really expected him to do by any means.
I think, but that's coming off of what he did when the show was reinvented and it had that confidence of, we don't need any of that stuff. This is new Doctor Who, you know? And there was such a separation, as you say. It does feel a little bit like the unease that you got around continuity references in, you know, Moffat era and Chibnall era later on, that it sort of feels like it kind of leans on the lore a bit too much to back up maybe a lack of building up the show's story on screen in the moment. And I remember some people saying at the time when the 60th was going out is that it didn't, especially the giggle, didn't have that kind of confidence and that bullshy sort of thing, because it felt kind of continuity laden in parts.
So I'm
just interested to see what an RTD series looks like that does acknowledge the past of the program, because you know, we know what he's like getting sly references in here and there, and bringing back the macra and wild stuff like that.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting.
And he's got all of his canon that he's developed, and Chibnall's and Moffat's as well.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously the fact that it makes sense to stick with the Last of the Time Lords thing, seeing as Chibnall killed them all off randomly. But again, I guess, you know, that helps establish him for the new audience, you know, the Doctor's character. So I guess in a way that probably helped Russell. He was probably glad that Chibnall got rid of Gallifrey and all that sort of stuff. I always found that very weird, that whole thing. It just happened with such a bit of a whimper. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, oh yeah, by the way, I destroyed Gallifrey while you weren't looking.
It was odd. It was strange.
I mean, with the Time War, at least, obviously, you know, we don't see it happen, but the aftermath of that is so strongly felt, and they make such a good point of saying how awful it was and how long it went on for, and that this was such a huge moment in the Doctor's life that we just weren't privy to. Whereas this really does feel like, oh, by the way, Doctor, JK just killed the Time Lords.
I think it's absolutely though, that as you're kind of saying, it comes from the fact it happened off screen.
Yeah.
And you're seeing the effects of it afterwards, which is way more effective than just seeing Gallifrey burning again.
Yeah.
Because you go back, you know, what, 5-6 years before, and we were seeing it in 3D in Day of the Doctor.
Yeah. And I think obviously they didn't really deal with the aftermath of that very well with the 13th Doctor. You know, she sort of, as a single tear rolls down her round her cheek, kind of like
that's
that that advert, the Native American advert that they spoof on The Simpsons when it's a bit like that.
That's exactly what it is.
It's just that, and it's like, oh well, that's fine.
God, we watched that last week, that episode as well. A very well-timed reference. Well done.
You know, and it just sort of feels, that felt very, I don't know, it was just very odd. I guess, I don't know. I mean, why am I trying to justify anything that happened all those years ago?
You didn't write the script.
No.
Russell has teased, and I was going to go on to kind of bring this up a little bit later. He's teased a running theme for the series, leading to, and this is the most showrunner quote ever, the most devastating finale and the biggest ever.
Since the last one.
since the last time you said that.
Since the last time and since the next time.
And since the time after that, where I go, no, really, this is the biggest everest.
the biggest everest, like that.
He says the Daleks need a good pause and will not appear.
That was one of my predictions. That is one of my predictions for today, was that there will be no Daleks. No Daleks, no classic monsters, but certainly no Daleks. I think they're being rested. I think if they're going to make such a big deal about this whole supernatural element of Doctor Who, I think it only makes sense that your big bad for the season has to be something in that realm rather than like, okay, so we've had all this sort of fantasy stuff happen, and then, oh, here come the Pepper Potts. And I think that perhaps even though on the day when they were filming and people say that they heard the assistant director or the director shout out, Daleks, and people were running, I think that was just code for big plume of smoke coming big towards time. You. So we'll see what it is. But yeah, I can't see any Daleks. Anyway, big finish. Do the monopoly on Daleks anyway these days. You know, if you want Daleks, go on there.
If you want Daleks and... Oh, I'm not going to say... No, I can't bash them any more than I already have. Do you think that Daleks is a cover for an even bigger reveal of like a recognisable character? Just to double down on the...
Well,
you
maybe.
Know, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean... I mean, who is in the only two characters that I can think of in that sort of mystical realm would be Fenric and the Black Guardian.
Ooh, Fenric's a good shout.
So maybe one of those two If they were going to bring back a monster, a baddie, I can't think of
Black
any...
Black Guardian's other. Also a good shout.
Yeah, that's the only other one that I can think of. But, you know.
Yeah. Valentine Dahl's coming, run away! That's the cue.
Yeah.
Nice. That was good. The shooty then spoke to Entertainment Weekly. There was a big spread in Entertainment Weekly. I'd be so angry if that was the case, talking about lack of Daleks. What on earth would be the point of me being Doctor Who without facing a Dalek? And we always have to have a quote from an incumbent Doctor saying, when am I going to face the Daleks? I want a Dalek story.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's...
And he'll
that's
get it.
That's fair, though, isn't it? I think any Doctor would be the same. You know, if we got cast as Doctor Who, you know, what would your caveat be?
All the money in the world, a decent script, and Millie Gibson as my companion. No, Karen Gillan as my companion. Bring her back. That's the contract. I'm just thinking, actually. So the Daleks, the new series Daleks, were built to be an eyeline with Billy Piper. I'm not saying that Shooty is tiny, but he is a more diminutive Doctor.
He's my height, Billy.
He's your height. Yeah. He's a short ass. Okay, right. So having him not looming over a Dalek will be an interesting on-screen sort of parallel. I mean, they might make them stacked and 9 foot tall. You don't know.
Well, yeah, but, you never know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, I think if I was cast as Doctor Who, I'd be like, well, I want to meet the Daleks. Oh, and I want to meet the Cybermen. But just don't make them shit. That would be my...
Give me a good Cyberman story. That would be a good challenge. Yeah.
Don't make them clunking robots, please.
Do you think that's how Peter Capaldi went into each season? I want an Ice Warrior story.
Maybe.
And get that fucking Gareth Roberts off this set before I fucking lamp him. Russell T. Davis in DWM recommends, and this comes on to a conversation I think a lot of people will bring up when we turn to your comments at home about the series.
Therapy for Doctor Who fans. For all of you.
Yeah. He recommends... You all just shut up, including us. He recommends a midnight viewing of The Legend of Ruby Sunday to avoid spoilers.
The Legend of Ruby... Oh, that's the finale, isn't it?
It's the pre-finale.
Okay. Bollocks to that. I ain't staying up till midnight watching Doctor Who. You mad? I got better things to do. Sleep in.
Sleep in.
Watching the morning. I think I can cope between midnight, when I undoubtedly will be asleep, until, I don't know, 9 a.m. I think I can, between that time, not check my phone and not check Twitter.
But you're normal, Matt.
Yeah.
What's the rest of Twitter supposed to do?
I mean, you know. See, the trouble is, I mean, it's quite good, really, that Doctor Who is ending up, has come out, honestly, it's still coming out on a Saturday, and it's coming out like in the morning, that I can afford to do that. You know, at the moment, I'm having problems with X-Men on Disney Plus, where it comes out 8 a.m. I have to go into work, so I tend to miss it in the morning unless I'm working from home that day.
Yeah.
And then I'll go into work, and because I work on YouTube, I go on YouTube, and what's on the homepage? A million spoilers from Marvel themselves. They shared clips from the upcoming episode, and I was like, you spoiled it for me. It's only been out a few hours, you bastards. Yeah, so at least I won't have that problem.
And it's hard, I think, as well, if you're, you know, a lot of people's natural reaction to, oh, I'm bored, what am I going to do, is to look at their phone.
Yes.
And you know, just to not to even read anything, just to scroll it.
Yeah.
You know,
and then...
And I've had it before where I've gone on an app like Instagram that is not a sort of instant, you know... thing
spoiler
of like
fest,
you post
no.
something and you get a reply, you know.
Yeah.
But I've scrolled through there when like WrestleMania was on the other week and I couldn't watch the Sunday show because it was Monday here.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I think I watched the first hour and I was like, I'm not going to look at any spoilers because this match is happening while I'm on the bus heading home.
Yeah.
And I looked on Instagram just to have a look at some photos of dogs and bang, somebody dogs. Lifting a title of dogs. Ing. There was I looked at it and there's somebody lifting a title belt over their head and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. You know, it's like there's the result of the match ruined for me now. So
shame.
I think it's difficult on the one hand to say don't go on Instagram, don't go on Twitter, because it's part of everybody's daily routine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think also to say that it's impossible for you to not look at spoilers for a couple of hours, I also think is unreasonable on the behalf of the production team, who are just asking people to put that little bit of extra thought into their viewing habits.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become? Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well... Well, we'll see how angry people get in a couple of weeks' time when we get used to this new way of watching Doctor Who. Unless you're, you know, in a country where it's on at a normal time and you can just watch it.
Now I'm not regretting moving to New Zealand with the airtimes now. So you chucked out one of your predictions for this series. How many more have you got?
I've got two more.
Okay. Do you want to give us another one?
Yes. So this is my more like out there idea.
Okay.
And I think this will be, maybe it won't even happen in this season. Maybe it'll happen in next season. I think that Carla will adopt, in inverted commas, the Doctor.
Oh, okay.
I think his picture will end up on the fridge. And she'll be like, you're part of the family, you know, and then him and Ruby be like, oh yeah, you're like me, you're like my brother, you're like my big brother, and you're like my little sister or whatever. And I think that's because they're making such a big deal about the whole, oh, well, you know, we're both orphans and all this kind of thing.
Yes.
And I think that might be something that they end up doing.
I like that. That's a really nice thematic link because, you know, he was so taken aback by seeing it. In that first story. So yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I've only got two.
Right.
My first one, to get it out of the way, is I think that, and this is obviously partly informed by how let down I am by certain appearances, I think that the Devil's Cord will be the stinker of the season.
Right. Interesting.
I think it's going to be the what's like an equivalent story, like
Underworld.
Not that bad. I think it's going to be, nobody liked The Beast Below when it first went out, right?
No.
No, I think it'll be like The Beast Below.
Okay.
The kind of, or the Rings of Akaten.
Yeah.
Of that series.
Yeah. Yeah, shame, isn't it, Beast Below? Because 11th Hour is so good and it gets you so pumped for the series. And you're like, it sort of just takes the momentum out of the series a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, that would be an interesting one for us to review because we haven't done the 11th Hour yet, but it'd be nice to do the Beast Below on the heels of the 11th Hour just to kind of... Because that was so maligned. That really took the wind out of the sails for a lot of people, that second episode.
Yeah, and then to be fair, even the Dalek one... You know, that came under heavy criticism, not only just because of the way the Daleks looked, but just as a story, people were just like, well, there isn't really much here other than Doctor Who encounters the Daleks and they unveil their new paint jobs and bodywork. And that's the end.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, what's your final prediction?
My final prediction, which is a bit more tongue-in-cheek, is Matt will really enjoy this season.
I think he will.
I know the last few episodes I've been in a real funk. Since Christmas, I've been in a real funk about Doctor Who. And I hate it. I hate the fact that I feel like this, that I'm just a bit like, oh. But I want to watch those first two episodes and be able to come out of it and go... No, it's fine. Okay, those two were good. You know, I like him. I like her. I think she's going to be fine. I have no problem with her. I don't know. We'll just have to see how it goes. But going back to what you were saying about, you think that the Devil's Cord might be the stinker. You know, it's interesting how that story is really sort of tentpoling so much of the promotion for this season. You know,
I mean, even
really...
before that, it was like, okay, we're 2 weeks out and it's a double bill. Yeah. It was that promo of them, you know, twisting and shouting.
Yeah, jiving, weren't they? Yeah. So there must have, I don't know, was there, I wonder if there was like a lot of thought in the production of like this story, you know. I mean, obviously it's going to be big and different because obviously we know it's a musical episode, or at least to some extent. So that in and of itself is something to shout about and something to publicize. Yeah.
It does make you think a little bit, and I don't think this is intended. It's like, so what's up with Space Babies then? You know?
Yeah.
What are you hiding?
What are you hiding?
When they don't put a preview screening out for a movie because they know that they'd rather get no promotion than everybody come out of the screening going, that Harry Hill movie was rubbish or whatever.
Yeah.
Why did I pick the Harry Hill movie? That was rubbish.
Yeah. Or like the reviews only come out the day before the film comes out. You know,
yes.
That's another good way of knowing a film's going to be dog shit. It's interesting. I think it's maybe because Space Babies will be a very meat and potatoes Doctor Who story.
Yes.
I think it's just going to be a very... I mean, we've already seen the monster, the bogeyman, which looks... Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this the other day. Looks really good. It reminds me of the Vindaloo monster from Red Dwarf.
It does look like the Vindaloo monster from Red Dwarf.
Beak face.
I was thinking it reminded me a little bit of one of the monsters from Monsters, Inc.
Okay.
That's got the sort of the snappy thing and the teeth coming out at jagged angles. Looks a bit like that one.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be, I guess if you're putting the two back to back, that's kind of really sort of saying, right, this is Doctor Who in a nutshell. Spaceships, monsters, weird stuff. Fine. Mm-hmm. Here is the absolute other end of the spectrum of this program where we can do absolutely anything. And
I think we sort of said that was going to be the case.
Yeah, and this is, not only is this absolutely anything, this is something we've never done before, and we're doing a musical episode about four Beatles impersonators.
Well, yes, let's park the Beatle impersonation thing because I don't want to beat them over the head with it. My last prediction is... Shuti Gatwa's absence as a result of filming sex ed during production of this series will be noticeable.
Interesting. Yeah, I almost thought that. I almost thought, are we gonna have a bit of a Dr. Light?
I think that there's at least like three episodes in there that just from the premise and what we know about it roughly alone, I can see him maybe boom less so because he'll be part of the action, although very stationary, which I think, as we've said before, maybe is an element of, okay, we've got him on the set for a day, so let's do all of his material in a day.
Yeah, but I think, and then we can just have a body double in the background.
Yes,
in his outfit. Yeah,
I think even in that case, obviously there's going to be a lack of action from him and actually inputting into the story, and I think that will be felt, and it will be like, well, Ruby kind of shoulders it in that sense. But then I think, you know, we've got that episode. Scissor 73 steps that we assume the TARDIS that's been left to get all mossy on the hill, you know, that signifies to me an absence of the Doctor. And then also the Legend of Ruby Sunday is going to be a Ruby Sunday centric story. And I think still at the end of that we're going to get a cliffhanger where either the Doctor turns up right at the end and we get a sort of, or maybe the series will kind of be non-linear in the sense of the story in terms, it's all leading up to him finally turning up at the end.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
At the end of that episode. I don't know.
Maybe a bit like Father's Day then.
Yes. A bit like Father's Day in that regard.
Just bookends the story, you know?
Yes.
He's in it at the beginning and then he buggers off and then he pops up at the end. Anything else before we move on to viewers' thoughts?
I don't think so. I mean, we asked our viewers three things, which was predictions, hopes, and fears. We've done our predictions. What is your biggest fear for the series coming up?
It's going to be shite.
Yeah.
I think, I saw someone on Twitter post something the other day And I liked it. I think their name was Robots of Death, actually. And they said, you know, been a fan forever, but looking at the promotion for the series, you know, I just sort of said, I'm not really feeling it. You know, it doesn't feel like it's going to necessarily be for me. And I saw a few, particularly older fans, sort of say the same thing, like, oh, not sure that the angle of this series is going to be for me so much, which is, you know, it's fine in a way, because obviously, you know, we want to get the new people in and, you know, we want to make sure that the series continues. But it also, at the same time, it always, you know, it still feels a bit like, oh, you know, I still want to be able to enjoy it, you know?
I'm sure you will. Like, even if it's not your cup of tea, I mean, you could say the same thing about farting aliens in series one, or,
true,
you know, the, you know, kind of what the Whisker era was going for in its, yeah, sort of approach to stuff. You,
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure. Well, we'll see. I just hope I enjoy it, really. You know, yes, especially after I enjoyed the anniversary special so much. I was so into the 60th anniversary. I loved those stories. Yeah, I just hope that sort of carries on.
I think it will. I think it will still carry the confidence that you want from it. I think it will still carry the swagger. It will certainly carry the look and the money, oh, yeah, side of it, from the way it looks. Mm. I think I have no doubt that I will enjoy Shooty Gatwa, because I thought you might say that you won't take to him rather than the series as a whole, that you just won't feel it.
Well, I mean, that's another thing. You know, I'm worried about that as well. I'm worried I'm not going to take to him. You know, he sort of mentioned in a review of Death ages ago, like how it always sort of sets our teeth on edge when the Doctor says stuff like baby and stuff, you know, and already hearing him saying stuff like honey and stuff, I'm already a bit like, ooh, you know. I know that might be part of, you know, obviously that, you know, the whole idea is, you know, the actor injects their personality onto the part,
yeah,
you know, that has been the case since day one. But I still sort of think, like, you know, although obviously that is part of Shooty Gatwa's persona, you know, and that's the sort of lexicon that he obviously uses as a, you know, in real life. When you still hear the Doctor say it, you know, I still think, yeah, you're still meant to be all these different people. And, you know, it's bad enough hearing Peter Capaldi say it as an old man.
Big, sexy woman. I know,
yeah,
still, that's,
you
still
know, stuff like that. And it's like,
I do think, though, you know, and we heard it when we did our Doctor Who Night commentary, which you can, yeah, go and watch now on patreon.com/TheReviewOfDeath.
Yeah.
The part, or no, maybe I was listening to somebody else say it. Oh, no, I can't remember now. It was that the part is sort of actor-proof.
Yeah.
Anybody can play it, and everybody will bring their own thing to that part.
Yeah.
And so I don't have the same fear. I mean, yes, you know, but we are many, many years, decades removed from the Doctor calling people old chap and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it only makes sense the lexicon gets updated as well. But I'm less worried about that. I'm just sort of, I don't know, having liked so much of the Whittaker era and having got so on board with what was going on and loving the tone and the pacing and the look of it and the style of it, I'm, you know, it's odd to have something new come along and be like, well, no, but this is Doctor Who. This is our Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And because after so long of not really getting on board with Moffat's version of it.
Yes. Yeah.
And his approach to some elements of his storytelling, I'm just a little bit like, yeah, well, but we just had Doctor Who that I really liked. I don't know what this is. What's this going to be like now, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I've not had Doctor Who that I've really liked since 1976.
Since before you were alive.
I know. That's quite impressive.
All right, let's turn to the Rodders. So we asked you what your hopes, fears for all the years were over on Instagram. Matthew Purchase says, my fear will be both the British audience and Disney Plus audience. Will they like it? It's a slightly strange way to launch the new era with a Christmas special and then a series 4 months later. Also, I'm a bit worried about the viewing the midnight release. How will that change things? I think that is, you know, a valid concern.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just that it will change things. And I know that some people struggle with that, but it will change things. But you will adapt to it. It's just new and weird and different now, you know?
Yeah. But it's no different to them putting it on twice a week, isn't it? Back in the 80s.
Exactly. We're just going through that. And look what good that did to Doctor Who at the time. Jonathan Reed says, my hopes are for a fun, exciting series with new ideas, but also one that remembers where it came from. And I think we'll get that. I think that's... Yeah. Fears, spoilers being posted in the early hours of Saturday. Prediction. Many established rules are now changed. Things are more fluid with time, and this has a big impact.
Mm. Well, we'll see.
Christoph or Christophe says, my biggest fear is RTD is heading for a JNT run, a monopoly of weird and bad decisions. I'm looking forward to it, though. What a pivot. Sarah says, I just hope the show keeps its identity and doesn't try to follow the trends of other streaming shows on Disney Plus, etc.
Interesting.
There's an indescribable esoteric vibe that this show has, and I hope it still has it, which I think is a really good way of putting it, because there is a fear with it going into the House of Mouse, which likes to, I mean, you know, I can't say this when stuff like, I was telling you, raving about it, Shogun is on Disney Plus, and that is ultra violent, and most of it is not in English and so on. But I still feel like there is going to be some element of molding the tone of it away from that croaky British sci-fi show. So it becomes a bit homogenous.
Yeah. That is, you know, always a concern. And obviously we've seen it happen before with the TV movie where, you know, that lost so much of its identity, you know, just in the style of it, and the type of story. Maybe that's the sort of signpost that's up in the Doctor Who office of like, don't do that, you know.
Remember
whatever
where
happens,
you came from.
Yeah, don't go down that route, you know.
It's a big picture of Eric Roberts.
You've got a lot of, I mean, obviously it's all British crew pretty much, you know, and you've got a lot of people who love the show right at the top. Whereas obviously with something like the TV movie, you had Philip Siegel, who, God bless him, you know, he liked the show, but, you know, he wasn't necessarily Russell T Davies level, you know.
Sure.
Into the show, you know, because obviously he'd left the country and, you know, settled in America and caught bits of it here and there. But this, I think, has got more safe hands on it. And I think part of the edict will probably be, you know, we've got to make sure it keeps its identity as much as it possibly can, whilst also appealing
the input from Disney will be, I think, things like, well, let's just tweak that phrase because that, Maybe stuff that you don't even realize writing as a British Welsh, you know, for a British audience as an auteur, you don't even realize like, oh, actually that doesn't translate. And if it's stuff like, okay, here's a more general international term, things, because again, it's not just playing out in the States, it's playing in Oceania, it's playing in Asia, it's playing all over the place, is I get, you know, you have to kind of round the edges off a little bit so it's not too much of one thing.
Yeah.
But I think in that TV movie vein, if it does, but then again, there must be a reason why the Matt Smith era specifically took off in the States.
Yeah.
Why it didn't happen so much under Tennant until after the fact, and then people went back and watched it, and then he became their favorite Doctor, you know. And there must be a reason why it fell off over there.
Yeah.
You know, during Matt Smith's run. So if they can isolate whatever it was, besides the fact that they filmed an episode in Utah, if they can kind of isolate whatever it was that kicked it off over there, they'll be fine. But what's to stop that from eventually dropping off and people getting bored of it?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I don't think there's going to be any real hard answer, is there, to it? It's just, you know, I think the appeal of it, you know, it is the Britishness of it, isn't it, I think? I think that, you know, that, and that's always been the case, you know, even when the Tom Baker stuff was becoming popular in the States back in the late 70s. You know,
but that was because people found it, though.
Yeah.
I think that there could be a hesitance to people. And it's interesting, actually, I was thinking we're 2 weeks out and I'm not seeing any billboards saying Doctor Who starts like, over here.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
like the Artful Dodger, that thing that was on Disney Plus around kind of Christmassy time year, or around the specials time. That got pushed on every billboard in New Zealand.
Really?
But I'm not walking around seeing any pictures of Shooty Gatwa, and it's like, we're a fortnight out. Like, you know, it is coming soon, and being in an international market and not seeing it as a visible presence is kind of strange.
Interesting.
To our international viewers, this will be a week later, obviously, so you've got a week of promotion on us.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. Let us know what you're seeing and where you're seeing it.
Yeah. I mean, we've got the premiere next week?
Yes.
As of recording this. And I just saw this morning that they've already said that there's going to be a launch in LA launch in New York. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe the billboards are just around the corner. Perhaps stuff like that will happen. Did we get anything for the specials in this country? I can't remember if we got anything.
I don't think we did get anything. I saw anything in public.
No.
But it did start appearing on the front page of Disney. Like when you load it up and you've got the scrolling. That started happening. And then also in the days before, the Doctor Who collection page started popping up.
Right,
and that is actually, if I go on, I'll pop on Disney Plus now and show you just to see where we kind of are.
Yeah.
But this is going to set fucking Disney Plus off in the house now. Stella's going to finish an episode of The Simpsons without me. If you go on Disney Plus, look, I'm just scrolling. So under, it, you know, you don't have to scroll too far. If we're just sort of meandering through, what should I watch? It is there. It is under coming soon.
Okay, cool.
And then if you hit search, it's right there. You don't even have to scroll. Yeah. So it'll happen. It's coming.
No, I was just going to say, I think Russell also said that for the international audience, it's almost like a triple bill because I think they're sort of pushing the Church on Ruby Road more as part of it, because obviously that is kind of like the first episode, isn't it, really? It's still
listed as Special 4, though, on Disney.
Oh, really? Perhaps when it launches properly, that'll be Episode 1.
Maybe. Yeah,
and then that'll confuse everything even more, because then in the international market, that's Episode 1.
They'll get their heads around it. It is weird, though, looking at it, because Specials 1, 2, and 3 have the key artwork for it.
Right, yeah.
But then Special 4 is just Shooty standing in the snow without any Photoshop magic.
Oh, interesting.
Kind of
okay, maybe that'll all update.
I'm sure it will. So Badger Man Badger, I'm happy it's living on, but I've got a feeling it won't be entirely for me. That's okay, because I never really felt New Who was for me either.
Yeah, well, there we go. Yeah. I mean, I think we've all had that sort of moment, haven't we, over the years of like, oh, I don't know if this is...
I mean, go back and watch our Rose 10th anniversary review, because that's us at our, like, you know, nearly bursting into tears point.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of hate that video now.
Me too. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, bloody... a lot's changed in all that time.
Yeah, there have been a few times I've been like, I might just private that.
Yeah, might not be a bad idea. Some of the stuff that we said in some of those older videos maybe warrant privatisation.
We do talk a lot of old bollocks. I mean, we still talk a lot of old bollocks. No, but...
It hasn't changed at all.
No, it's just the calibre of bollocks has changed.
We are the arbiters of bollocks. Oscar Groucho says, I want to see Doctor Who forge ahead with a confident new identity, untethered from the stranglehold of continuity. Doctor Who has a rich past, which, utilised well, ignites the imagination. Let it be a journey of discovery, which enriches the show, not the centre of the narrative, and we will fly. That sounded like a Tibetan monk told me that. Thank you very much, Oscar. Conrad says, I just can't wait to have Doctor Who back again. The promise of adventures everywhere and every when, punctuated with RTD's great character and family drama. And that is important to remember, is we do have Russell the Davis back. And, you know, when he got announced, we were all very excited. Still very excited. Like the specials. And watching It's a Sin with Stelle and finishing that and her going, he's doing Doctor Who now. And I was like, you know, that buzz is still there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. To an extent. I'm just going to say that.
Okay.
Maybe something happened before the launch of the specials that made me go, oh, for fuck's sake. But I'll leave that out there. I'll just leave that out there for people to work out what I mean.
Oh my God, what the fuck? I don't even know what you're talking about. Shooty Gatwa has won me over very quickly, so I can't wait to see him show his range as an actor. Comrade yeah. finishes. And the last one is from Kieran. I remember replying this as a joke and it blew up with a little few likes and the idea became more interesting to me. What if the snow in the trailer isn't snow, but salt? 14 pouring it at the edge of creation.
What?
The fuck are Doctor Who fans on these days, bro?
I don't understand. What snow?
Give me some of what you're smoking. No, it's the salt that he puts down in Wild Blue Yonder.
Oh,
and
right,
in the
okay.
trailer, you've got all that stuff falling.
Right.
Thanks
I don't
very
know.
Much for watching the review of Death. I've been Biddy Garrett John. That's Matthew Toffolo back away slowly from the Doctor Who fan.
You broke my brain a bit there. I'm a bit lost.
I'm a bit lost too. But don't worry, Matt, because Doctor Who is back in a week's time and we will finally be found again. We will finally have our favourite show back on TV. Mm. And
Tom
we'll
Baker's come back
be...
to see you.
And we will be, you know, we'll be reveling in it. We'll be loving it. And we've got, you know, to work out how the fuck we're going to do the first two episodes all of that, but keep an eye on socials and stuff and we will let you know. Next week on the Patreon, we're going to be doing a Q&A. So we'll use that as an excuse to mop up any bits that we missed between now and this episode going out.
Yep.
So everything that comes out of the premiere and everything that comes out of LA and New York and New York. I'm fucking walking here. We'll cover all of that.
Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. Otherwise, I don't think there's much else to say. We've had new Doctor Who toys. They came out last week. Mavellans.
The Mavellans, everybody loved and nobody had a problem with.
No. Yeah, they were great. Beautiful set of figures. Really, really good. Really, really cool. So they were good. Obviously, now we're just kind of waiting for the launch of the new series stuff. There's already been a few listings for things on websites. Oh. I saw last night that a toy website had listed the Sonic Screwdriver for the 15th Doctor, I think at around $24.99, which I think's probably about the same sort of price as the other one.
That's
I can't remember
bad.
Now. No, it's not bad. I guess it's a big chunky sort of thing, you know, compared to what we're used to. So
and
that'd
it's
be
clearly been designed as a toy from the design process up, you know?
Yeah, there's obviously like, you know, it's got to appeal to the kids and the 40-year-old serial killer want them. I love that idea. What's your sort of market for these things? Well, probably about like 6 to 10 year olds, 40 to 50 year olds. Thank you.
It's a broad church and they've all got spending power.
Yeah, it's true. So it's interesting to see that it's obviously turning. The wheel is turning in terms of stuff happening. Oh, they announced new Doctor Who books, didn't they?
Oh yes, that was nice to see.
New Doctor Who novels. So that's exciting.
I have to say, I although I was excited, I remember making a document when the Jodie series was just about to start and the episode titles started being announced and then the books and I started doing like a kind of list of, okay, where's stuff fitting in and blah, blah, blah. I obviously didn't read them. But it's and I probably won't read these, at least at the start. If they turn out to be great, then, you know, that'll be fab. It's not something I'm going to be rushing out to get, but it's nice to know they're there and I hope they sell well. I hope they do really well.
Yeah, that's it. That's always the thing, isn't it? So as long as it you know, keeps the money coming in and it keeps people invested in this show, then who cares? But yeah, I mean, I won't be, like you said, won't be rushing out to buy them, but nice to know that they're happening. So we'll just have to see what is looming on the horizon. Obviously, we all want our Shooty Gatwa and Millie Gibson action figures. We've seen pictures, so we know that they're on the way. So we'll just have to see. But it's all kicking off. It's all kicking off. Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening, watching, and whatever else. Like, subscribe, tell us we're sad bastards that shouldn't be talking about this program. And we'll see.
I liked
you.
It until the female doctor came along, because they always had a problem with that, and now they suddenly like it. Come on, lads, admit it. It's lost its way.
Well done. Well
Just
done.
Tipping my cat to the tipping my cat.
Yeah. Tipping your
about?
Cat to the the comment section. We'll see. We'll see. It's weird that, isn't it? That always annoys me, that particular comment, because it's like, you know, we haven't been like, this is
you're still a grumpy arsehole.
My arsehole's still really grumpy.
I think it's because it's impossible to change your opinion on things, you know?
Yeah.
And it's also, it's, you know, we've done nothing but be very pessimistic in this video. So I hope people are happy. You know, if you want your lightness and sunshine, you know, go somewhere else. I don't know. But like, I find it very hard, even though this episode doesn't necessarily prove that, to be negative about things these days. It's just not worth the energy, you know?
That's why I'm here.
He is. That is, we balance each other out beautifully.
The yin to your yang.
Yeah.
Anyway, join us next time when we're going to be talking about brand new Doctor Who. What are they called? Space Babies. Space Babies and the Devil's Cord. I'm looking forward to it. There's a slight tingle of anticipation. Whether that tingle becomes, I don't know, septic shock of the anus. I don't know. We'll see.
I know this has been very heavy on the Simpsons references, but I'm getting like, Mr. Burns' heart beats.
Yes.
From you. That's the Doctor Who element coming from you.
Oh dear. Very good. We'll see. We'll see if my heart can take it. In a couple of weeks' time. So thank you all for watching. Like, subscribe, share it with your friends. Until then, cheerio. Goodbye.
Bye.